What the f*** is going on?
I like to party.
Jesus, honey, wax much?
This is Unwaxed.
Get in, loser, we're going shopping.
With Sophia and Sistine Stallone.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Are we recording?
We are recording.
Oh my God. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the
Unwaxed podcast with your favorite duo, Sophia and Sistine Stallone.
I want to say my name.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Sophia.
And Sistine.
Hi, like guys. It changes anything.
I don't know. You kind of said mine like Sistine Stallone.
You sound like you're hosting some Nickelodeon show right now. Hi, guys.
I feel like that's sensitive. We should stay away from Nickelodeon.
Oh.
Can we say maybe I'm hosting the Wendy? No, not
the
Wendy,
Wendy Williams.
Williams. That's also so bad. That's not good right now. Ellen. What, nope. What also bad. Fuck.
What do you say? No, what is
Jimmy
their,
Kimmel?
Who would always start out their intros like, hello, everybody, what's up?
Every YouTuber ever.
I guess I'm thinking like circa 2019 YouTubers.
Don't you remember look like that? YouTube before the ads?
Oh,
that was like
what a beautiful time in life.
We were obsessed with Fred.
Oh my God. That, if anyone knows what that is, he has that high pitched voice and he used to just speed up his videos and do the dumbest stuff ever.
What else
but
did
I
we
watch
like?
The Incredible Orange or something?
The Annoying Orange.
The Annoying Orange. Wait, how about this? How about the Potter? The Potter.
Oh.
Like,
Slytherin.
I swear, I probably go back to that once a year on a random day. It has to be like some sort of Thursday.
It was so
at
innocent.
11 p.m.
Then. It was so innocent.
I know. It was good stuff. It was good stuff. People start, and now I'm kind of jealous. I wish I was on YouTube before YouTube became a thing.
I feel like we were more creative as kids because we didn't have all these extra apps and like there wasn't TikTok and Musical.ly and Instagram. So all we did was make movies, music videos. And now I feel like kids just don't.
I say this all the time. I feel like we're the last generation that is really lucky to not have dealt with social media and phones. Because I remember I didn't get an Instagram until ninth grade.
That's crazy.
In high school. Which, I mean, in comparison to some of my older friends that didn't get it till later. But we had to actually think of, I mean, we played Lions every single day.
We were so creative that we begged, do you remember we begged mom? Like it was some crazy purchase. We're like, can you please get us a green screen blanket?
Oh,
that's all we wanted. So she went on Amazon, got one for $8. And we used this green screen blanket
for everything.
Like it was our religion.
We did, we hosted television shows, newscasts. We did.
We did those old iPod commercials.
Oh, yeah. We did commercials just in case they ever wanted to use an iPod commercial from us two at 9 years old because they were they were beautiful.
Wait, speaking of commercial, did you ever do this when you were in high school as part of the film theater department? I feel like a lot of schools do this where they do those drinking and driving PSAs.
Yes.
Oh, can I tell you my experience,
by
the way?
That was so funny. Yeah.
Okay, so I was in a group of people that quite literally did zero work. Also, maybe because I'm slightly controlling over delegating and doing the work, that maybe I just unintentionally box them out.
It comes with the fact that we always say, if you're going to do it right, you just do it yourself.
So I am not saying I did the whole thing, but I did orchestrate, write the script, edit, film, whatever. And the winner has their commercial of our year played at Dodger Stadium during one of the games. Mine won.
Yours won?
Yes.
Stop.
So I am like the car crash victim
that
was broadcasted at Dodger Stadium.
About this.
I know.
That's hilarious. I know this film
runs
class,
in the fam.
My favorite ever was in this film class. She always would assign like these really crazy films. And one of the things where we had to make a music video for real artists, but they were not real artists. They're artists from just like the Valley. And so I got paired up with this 10-year-old that really wanted to be like the next Ellie Goulding. It was the funniest thing. I mean, I went down fully thinking this was serious and I did a full on music video with this girl and she posted all over her page. It was really cute.
Really cute.
It was really cute. Anywho, how do I even start with our past weekend? This is one of those bedtime stories we probably would have shared years from now, but it actually happened this weekend.
We got violently ill.
Ill.
Sophia was violently ill from the mouth. I was violently ill from the other side.
It was
a disaster.
It was true Sunday scaries, but it was brunch edition.
It was a crime scene.
Brunch murdered us. I will never brunch again.
First of all, I think brunching is
the best thing in the world.
No, I was going to say the opposite.
Why would you think that's the opposite? Brunch is the best.
What's the point? Hear me out. You start eating your brunch at 1 p.m. Amazing. Then it kind of ruins your whole hunger cycle for the rest of the day. You're slightly hungover. And then by 5 o'clock...
You're so meticulous about timing of when you're going to have dinner. That's why you don't like brunch. It's like you like your breakfast at like 11. Your snack
I don't
around
like
2.
My routine
your dinner around
off.
5. No, brunch is the best part of the weekend. You get there, you have like a little flight of mimosas, you're eating pancakes, you're probably talking about the night
you're
before.
You're also eating like three times the amount you would.
And it's
we consumed enough for a small village.
But we eat a lot. That's the thing.
It's and the like, craziest part was we were stuffed. Yeah. We were so full. What did we do? Can we get another 3 bagels, another side of bacon? Actually, throw in the French toast
while
you're at
it. I didn't want to say, we're not going to say the restaurant, but we went to brunch this Sunday, or this past Sunday with our two girlfriends.
At arguably one of the most popular brunch spots.
I think if you say New York and brunch, this restaurant pops up.
Y'all know. They serve bagels in a flight.
So Sistine and I and our two girlfriends are sitting there, and we order everything. We go, we're sparing no expense. We are going to order the bagels, the lox, the French toast, two sides of bacon, two sides of guac, two sides
of potatoes. We said, why not Brussels sprouts at 1 p.m.?
We finished the bagels. We literally said, another round of bagels.
Yeah.
Eggs. It was and salad.
And salad.
We can't forget the salad.
No, of course not. We needed to be healthy.
Mm. Well, which that backfired. Was our demise. So basically, we're sitting at this brunch, and Sistine and I start talking about conspiracy theories with them.
Yes.
It's fun. I think we all just decided, like, let's share our favorite one. And the pigeon one is the first thing that we thought of.
I asked the group, I said, do you guys think pigeons are real? Chris, why are you laughing?
We're starting with bird conspiracies this Saturday. Yes.
Do you
afternoon?
Think pigeons are real?
Honestly, I was looking at a pigeon on the side of the street the other day, and I was like, that thing, there's no way.
Okay.
There's no way.
We asked this question to each other. We go, because our girlfriends are, what are you talking about pigeons? Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, you guys, think about this. Have you ever seen a baby pigeon?
Have you ever seen a baby pigeon?
Not that I can
See?
Remember.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a dead pigeon?
Probably.
No, like, I think that's your brain tricking you to think that you actually did.
So we said,
it's a Mandela effect. No, that's the wrong one.
So
what is it?
We believe.
What is it when you think you see something and it's not there?
I
know what I mean?
I think it's Mandela.
No, everything. It's like when you see a logo and you thought that's what the logo looked like.
I think it's butterfly effect.
That's Mandela effect.
Then why are you questioning it?
Because you're saying the same effect
as me. I just said it's Mandela effect.
I don't think it is.
When you think you saw something there before that wasn't
Mandela effect, popular phenomenon in which a group of people collectively misremember facts, events, or other details.
I was right.
That's
smart.
I'm validating you. You're right. So this is the thing. We kind of went into this pigeonhole of pigeon theory where we thought, okay, we've never seen a baby pigeon. I've seen baby rats. I've seen little groups of ants and things like that. I've seen baby versions, mm-hmm. but not the pigeon. We think that the CIA or the government is listening in. It has to be the answer of why these are not babies. They come out of nowhere. Yeah. I haven't seen a dead one. And if there is a dead one, they planted it. Just so that we believe.
What started as like a very innocent topic of conversation mixed with alcohol, mixed with 4 girls that I just don't know when to stop talking. You just spilled all over yourself.
I did. I caught it though.
It became honestly a 45 minute. Okay, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I'll wait.
I'll grab you a paper towel, but all right.
Cool.
Do we think pigeons were then like pre-iPhone CIA spy thing? Because everything is.
I went deep into this. Okay. I have facts for you. I have time to
spend Jesus.
For you. Oh, I brought info because I don't want to just sit on this podcast and say to our listeners, pigeons are fake anyway. Let's do a bedtime story. No.
Oh God.
Let's get everything aligned. So we started going into a dark hole. And we were spitballing ideas. Yeah. We were coming up with more conspiracies. We were saying, well, if this is happening, then that makes sense why pigeons are real. Okay, so I did some research to further confirm this. Did you know that back in the 70s, the CIA used pigeons as spyware? And it was called the Takana Project, okay? Where they literally had built the pigeon. It was a robot pigeon with cameras inside. And they used these tiny cameras to collect information from certain areas that they were targeting.
Ooh.
Pigeons were also used, this did I even write down, I just knew this, in World War II. Did you know that pigeons are so smart? They're saying pigeons are so smart. Something with the brain the size of a cornet, okay?
Pigeons are smart.
So smart that they can fly hundreds of miles away and remember the exact location of where to return. So in World War II, that's how they were sending notes to enemies or collecting intel.
Wow.
And then so pigeons were used for a lot of reasons for a long time.
So, of course, they robotically engineered them to be listening pigeons, and that's why they hang on telephone wires to charge.
To charge.
To charge.
To charge.
They're charging.
I just want to note that this episode is being recorded on 420, but this is all natural, I think.
We're not even high. We're actually so stone cold sober. And the fact we're having high thoughts and high conversations.
This is a high conversation.
But we went into it, and then we actually went up to the waiter. This is where...
This is when the shit goes down.
This is literally.
This is what you call a callback.
Yeah, this
we're
is when it gets back
right now.
So then we go, we're all convinced. The four of us are just like, we're full, but we're in this. We talk to our waiter. We go, hey, have you ever seen a baby pigeon? He goes, no. We go, have you seen a dead pigeon? He goes, I think so.
He said, yes. And I said, do you work for the government?
And then he goes, no. But he seemed to like nervous a little bit, right? So
cut to later that evening.
That was our problem. We shouldn't have opened our mouths.
Cut to later that evening. All the tables around us heard what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The waiters were hearing what we were talking about.
Yeah.
It was getting deep.
It got too deep.
We start firing off in our girl group chat. We said, is anyone else feeling a little sick?
Well, I'm sitting on the couch, you guys. Yo. It's probably like 7 p.m. And I've never had this type of illness before. And I look at Sistine, I go, Sistine, I'm really feeling sick.
Yeah.
Like, I feel so incredibly nauseous, and I don't know why. And we haven't eaten for like 8 hours since lunch. And she goes, yeah, so am I. Shoot off the text. Everyone is in the same boat, right? And then we decide, we're like, wait a minute.
We were sabotaged.
We were poisoned.
We were poisoned.
We were poisoned. The FBI, CIA, government heard us because we're getting too close to the sun.
Also, we were in outdoor seating.
Yeah.
There were pigeons around us.
There were so many. They heard us. I think the waiter went back to his boss, told him we knew too much, sprinkled something in our second bacon round, and wanted to poison us.
100%.
But in all realness, guys, we had severe food poisoning. It was bad. I was
throwing up so much. We actually believe in our deluded brains that it was because we were talking about pigeons.
I really believed it. But now doing more real research, guys, guess where we actually got sick from, which is kind of crazy because not all of us ate the same thing. The salad.
The salad.
The healthy choice of our bunch for our Sunday to be clean girl. Gave us food poisoning.
Girls always do this where you'll order something a little bit, quote, naughty, and then you try to get something green to balance it out. What are the odds the green thing makes us feel
horrible? Well, I had no idea that you can get so sick from bad lettuce and things like that.
I think it was the dressing.
It could have been, but no, you really can get bacteria on greens.
That's disgusting.
I know. So it's like either unwashed or whatever. I did think that salad was sus. I did have a feeling about it. It tasted great. I had 2 servings, but I just feel
Sophie
obsessed.
And I saw a pigeon on the sidewalk the other day playing with a stick. It looked like it was glitching.
It was. It was.
A pigeon is playing with a stick.
We said it was distracting itself. You know when you're like, do-do-do-do-do, like trying to do something, like look on your phone? That was the pigeon version. The pigeon was just like playing with a stick like a dog.
And listen, I do think they released some real ones just to blend in.
It's just honestly kind of freaky.
I even got to ask Sophia this the other night.
Sistine!
What?
Remember that night?
What night?
Oh, the sick night. Oh my God, it just came back to me. Remember sitting on the couch? This is after like an hour of us feeling really, really ill. You said, look outside. And on top of the building were 2 pigeons staring at us.
Like didn't move for hours.
Didn't move.
Stared right into our apartment.
I was like, they're literally listening to us. They
one
like,
for each of you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The pigeons followed us.
Can you imagine?
I zoomed in. I was like, oh my God.
Can you imagine if they had like our names written on them in blood? Like we're next. What if we were like, has anyone been murdered by pigeons?
I could see death by pigeon
Can
being
you look this up?
Incredible.
Not like them eating them after, but like murdered by a flock of pigeons.
I don't. No, because I feel, maybe they went rogue, like a little malfunction. Has anyone died from a pigeon attack?
I
feel like that's going to happen to you. I think that's your fate. Because you don't like pigeons. They've also heard you say that many times.
We don't get along.
No. No pigeon attack?
I need to do some more. This is the weirdest Google I've ever done, I think, first of all. There is something on express.co.uk. The title is called Man is Killed by Pigeons. So pretty direct. A pigeon fancier was killed by breathing in dust from the birds he cherished for 79. So maybe you guys breathe in some pigeon dust.
Oh, my God.
He flew too close to the sun. He thought, let me make these people my friends, and they backfired.
They backfired. The pigeons let out a gas to kill him.
And then I even went a step further to say, you know when certain business owners or buildings have the spikes on their rails so that pigeons won't land there, whatever? Those individuals are also on the birds are not real bandwagon because they don't want those fucking birds around their businesses. Maybe those businesses are like laundering money. I don't know. That was crazy.
We may have just lost 50% of our audience, but hear us out. If freaking Elon Musk can make a car that drives itself, is fake pigeons really out of the box? Do you want to hear something kind of crazy, speaking of driving cars?
What?
When I was in LA, I was walking across the street to go pick up dinner. And suddenly I'm like looking at the street and all the cars are honking. And this one car is blocking. So he was trying to turn right. And it was only one way street. Mm-hmm. And the car, I guess, was just stopped in the middle. Like it just didn't go. So all these cars are trying to pass this car, but it wouldn't go. And I look inside the window. No one's there. No one's there. And I forgot what the company's name was. I think I took a video of it. But it was so crazy. The car that was a self-driving car didn't move because it was like glitching, malfunctioning. Mm-hmm. And it made an entire line of like 15 cars wait for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did stand there and watch the whole time seeing how fast it would take for this car to go. I had nothing else to do.
I feel like that is just...
I just thought about it. I was like, What if we get to the point of self-driving cars where it just glitches and gets into major accidents? Like,
well, I think it zooms in, heads on. It already has.
Yeah, but like really bad ones where we're sitting in the back seat and it completely destroys the car. That's freaky.
You know how there's AI and robots and they're getting really realistic?
Yeah.
And there's even the ones that you can, you know, fondle. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No.
Can you imagine? What? No, like they make like, what would you even call it? Like female robots that are hot, like a blow-up sex doll, but she's a robot on the inside.
Sure, okay, sex doll.
And they can respond to whatever. This is all happening. And they can perform things. Can you imagine, like, 30 years from now, what if your husband, like, had a secret affair with one of these dolls? What would you do?
That's such
would
a Black Mirror episode.
I know. Would you stay with him? Because technically, he's not cheating with another woman.
That kind of did happen on the show.
But he's choosing machinery over you. Like, what would you... Is that cheating?
Kinda.
Is that cheating?
You hook up with a robot? Is that cheating?
Probably. What would you rather? Real woman or like robot woman?
I honestly think real. Honestly.
Yeah, because it's gross.
That's like a weird kid. You're weird.
That's weird.
Like, you can probably cheat with me on any living thing, but you choose a robot? No, I think I would rather have a human being be the thing that... By the way, you can compete against a robot because it's not real, but you can't, like, do you realize what I'm saying? Like, that's almost worse.
No, but honestly, think about how much longer they can do things than, like, a human girl could. Like, think about it. We're exhausted after, like, 10 minutes. They can do 10 hours.
So that will be, it doesn't have a say. That's the weird part, though. That's the weird part. Anywho, that was interesting opening.
Let's talk about something really fun.
Okay.
Sophia and I, last minute, actually, the last time we were driving to the podcast, we decided in the car, we should dust off our cowboy boots and put on our hat and go to Stagecoach.
Yeehaw, baby.
So we're going to Stagecoach next weekend.
And I'm so excited!
Oh, my God.
So
excited! Oh, my God.
Oh, I cannot wait. This is like my Super Bowl.
No,
this
it's
year.
Amazing.
Oh my God. Okay. If anyone doesn't know what Stagecoach is, Stagecoach is a 3-day music festival that is where Coachella is, except it has less stages, all country music. Everyone's chill, not on drugs, having a good time. The vibes are high, and
one of the performers is literally Guy Fieri doing a cookout on stage.
It's so good. Post Malone goes, come on. Diplo goes.
It's so, I'm so excited.
It's so good. It's my favorite time of year.
Like, I know.
And we didn't get to do it last year. We did the year before, but this year it has such a good lineup. Like, is there anyone that you're looking forward to?
Jelly Roll, Jelly Roll, Jelly Roll.
Jelly Roll, Jelly Roll. I get
that. I love him.
For me, it's Morgan Wallen, Morgan Wallen, Morgan Wallen.
He's the one that just threw the chair off the roof.
Yeah, it's okay. I forgive you. He got arrested. Wild. Like, he got arrested.
What urge for that?
He doesn't have a good album now that he got arrested.
I'm glad he's still performing.
He is. Yeah, of course he's still performing. He just threw out, whatever. He threw a chair out the window. I don't know if he hurt anyone.
Hope not.
Whatever. But he's performing, and I'm so excited. Well, his songs are like
last time we went was, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
So I had a rough start to my Stagecoach experience 2 years ago. And honestly, we wanted to share this on the podcast, but I felt so, I don't know if I was embarrassed or insecure or nervous to share the story, but now I feel like enough time has passed. So in honor of us going back to the festival. And I've forgiven you. This is a crazy story.
She's ruined Stagecoach last year. That's why.
No, only this year's one day.
You have to redeem one day.
I ruined the first day.
You ruined the first day, but it dominoed into the rest of the weekend. The vibes were low.
Okay.
Actually, she killed the vibes.
Okay, let me explain. Let me explain. So we get tickets to Stagecoach. My boyfriend and I broke up. I was a very sad girl at that time. Yeah. Very sad. And I said, you know what? I'm still going to go, even though we were planning on going together. Yeah. And Sophia was with her boyfriend at the time, and we had our friends. So it was supposed to be like a cute little foursome. No.
Yeah, well, no. It's
two girls, two
no,
friends.
It was supposed to be, you know what? This is like, let's just lay out the foundation. It was supposed to be kind of a double date festival weekend. And it was really fun. And Sistine was excited. But then they ended up splitting up like a week prior. And so it ended up being our girlfriend, who was great, with Sistine, and then me and my ex at the time.
So for some reason, he felt inclined to tell me that he was still going. And not only still going, staying at the house right next door. And I was like, great. This is fantastic. So the whole time I was just looking over my shoulder, nervous that I'm going to run into him, like so awkward. I was freaking out, right? So my head was all over the place. So the evening comes, we get to the festival. I thought it would be a wise idea in the desert to have no water, just margaritas. Okay, so that was the only thing in my system for like 11 hours, margaritas, because I was stressed.
I wanted to kill her.
I was freaking out. You know when you're in your head, though, about something else, and you keep drinking, and you're like, why isn't the alcohol kicking in? Like, you don't feel buzzed because you're heady somewhere else. So I just kept chugging because I was like, why am I not drunk
yet? Basically, she's a small person. Yeah. She's like she's tall, but you're like, you don't have enough to, you need things to absorb the alcohol.
Yeah. So we're standing at the bar. So embarrassing. We're standing at the bar.
This is hours later.
Sophia's getting a drink, right? She gets the drink. She hands it to me. For some reason, I start walking away. And it felt like the room or the crowd around me was just moving in slow motion. Like I was in jello. And
it's
night,
by the way, at this time.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is confusing. And then I just start realizing. I go, oh, my God, my feet are like so heavy and I can't feel my hands. And I was like, what is going on? I thought someone had slipped me something. Like, I was freaking out. No one did. I was just delusional.
I find you.
Sophia finds me, right? So I keep walking and she goes, what the hell are you doing? But it sounded like I was wearing noise canceling headphones when you were talking to me.
Yeah.
It was so
muffled. I mean, you kept saying you're muffled. You're like, I can't really hear you.
So we go to the edge of the entrance to get in, and it's all barricaded with these metal fences that are linked together. And everyone around me is concerned. I go, you guys, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. All of a sudden, all I remember hearing.
Well, I'm on the side, by the way. Like, I leave her for 2 seconds. She's holding the railing, and it's a concrete floor.
So I was like, I'm good.
But I'm like, you're good? I'm like, I'm going to go get her some sort of, what's it called, golf cart. I need something. She cannot walk that far.
I'm like, so embarrassing.
So I leave her for 1 second.
And
1 second.
All I remember is hearing this loud bang, almost as if you got two pots and just smacked them together. That's how loud it was. And I bounced off the rail, bounced on the concrete.
On the concrete. Her head hit. I looked around. I see my sister. Too late. I couldn't catch her. I'm trying to rush over. Head hits the fucking pole. Head hits the concrete.
It's not funny, but now it's, you guys, it sounds crazy, but like now it's fine.
No, I start sobbing.
I felt sobbing. I start sobbing. So I have to say, if you're in crisis mode, Sophia's the best person to be with because she goes into full-on protection.
Yeah, no, I really, yeah. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. So I'm on the ground with her, like feeling her head. I'm sobbing. I'm like, Sissy, like screaming. I'm manic. I'm shaking. And this is the thing. You don't honestly, when someone is in one of those, like, she's my sister. I love her to death. She drives me nuts sometimes. I drive her nuts sometimes. But when you're in a position where you think that she's seriously injured, like
I got up right after.
I thought her brain had swole. I thought she had a cracked skull.
See, that's the only flaw with Sophia. She goes to the worst. She's like, having a brain aneurysm. Like,
hit concrete.
Yeah, but I just fainted.
You hit concrete.
We faint all the time.
No, but you hit concrete and a metal bar.
So this is where the story gets kind of silly. By the way, this is not... Looking back, it's fine. At the time, it's serious. I fainted, whatever. But it's...
No, it's funny now.
It's funny now. We can laugh about it now. So I remember she somehow got us a golf cart, and I'm sitting up. I'm able to talk. I'm fine. And we get back to the house we were staying at. And somehow, at this really late hour, Sophia managed to get a doctor to the house. Don't know how.
I tell you, I will figure it out.
So I'm like shoveling Cheerios in my mouth with one hand.
He's examining you.
He's examining me with the other. And Sophia kept saying, I felt so bad. She kept saying, she has a huge bump on her head, a huge bump on her head. And I was like, no, I don't. I was feeling. She goes, yes, she does. And she showed the doctor. And he goes, no, you don't have a bump. It was because she felt my clip-in extensions. Oh. I have my clip-in extensions, and she thought that was a pump.
Oh, my God.
I was like, no, babe.
And so the rest of the night, and so we've decided this is what happened. But she had severe anxiety because her ex was around. But that, and
how
just,
stupid! Now looking back, like,
no, it's not stupid. It was up. No, it was so stressful because think about it. You just broke up with someone that you really care about, and then you're in the same environment. They're next door to each other. I don't blame you. I can't, you know me. If I walked past one of my, I turn into a puddle. I go, oh, I don't know what to do. Like, I freak out. You were next door to them.
No. And lesson learned. This stagecoach, you guys, we're not missing the headliner. I will be drinking plenty of Pedialyte.
Yes.
And if I do see you there, ex, we're on good terms.
They actually are. Not so bad. It's good. Thank God. Thank God. I don't have to worry about it. No, this is going to be so much fun because we haven't gone together single before. I don't think we have. Holy shit. Yeah, we haven't. Or the whole group being single. Or I guess Natalie is not, but like most of it. Oh, wait, Natalie and Nicole. They're both not. Just kidding. You and I are single.
Oh, this is going to be good.
I know. It's going to be funny. It's going to be crazy. Well, you know why? Because I remember the year we went. We are good at convincing people to let us into places we shouldn't be.
You just got to like twirl your hair a little bit and you blink.
You know, wait, please.
Blink really quickly.
We swear we're supposed to be.
I'm just a girl. I thought this was the bathroom. But you have this is backstage?
I think the quote, like this is the thing. If you guys are trying to get back somewhere, I think this is what I've learned from Sistine, especially that I adopted because she's really good. You're good at convincing.
Yeah.
You have to seriously believe that you're meant to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like confident. They're insane. Why wouldn't they let you? Do you not like, do you know who I am? Not like that. More so going, no, I am here. Like, they just told me
here's
to be here.
Here's a crazy one.
I was just talking to Jared 4 seconds ago.
Use a name.
Yeah, you have to throw a name out there.
No, you know Jared. He's actually the manager of Bret Michaels backstage right now. He just called me. I could show you the message if you want. Like,
no,
you literally you guys, have to keep going to the point where they're like, fine, just shut her up and get her in.
There was a year that we got in to the back, I guess basically where all the artists are, where they have all their
friends and
RVs
family.
And friends and family, like where they literally prep before they go on stage. It's them all hanging out and we're just walking around looking at like all the artists.
I want to see Bret Michaels.
Yeah, we met Bret Michaels.
I love Bret Michaels, Rock of Love.
That was the one person we wanted to see out of all the artists.
Like, every rose has its thorn.
I'm so excited.
So excited.
I can't wait to wear cowboy boots, cowboy hat, and go to the honky tonk.
Is there anything sexier for a girl to wear than like denim cutoffs and a cowboy boot?
Like, nah, it's like
the hottest vibe.
No,
have you been to Stagecoach?
I have not.
Okay. I know you're a Coachella guy. We can just tell Chris, you know?
You've been saying that. It's 2 weeks of Coachella
Chris.
That's
not an insult. I loved Coachella
Chris.
But I'm telling you, I feel like this is like a guy's kryptonite. Like a girl in a sundress and a girl in like
little cowboy
boot with a tank top. That's all that's walking around.
You know,
it is like heaven.
You know, I just heard that guys are obsessed with the one thing a girl can wear that makes guys obsess is a milkmaid dress.
A milkmaid dress?
Well, a milkmaid dress is like a sundress.
Wait, is that like an archaic way to say?
Yeah, it's like a sundress, but specifically.
Oh.
You have something like this.
Milkmaid dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I knew it. First, Chris gave me a weird look. And then he looks at me.
I didn't know what it was called.
Yep.
Why did I picture a girl guys holding jars of milk?
Because it is. 40s. It's very Bo Peepy. It's very.
So this is what every girl wears with boots. It's fantastic.
No, but not every girl. But guys in general, every time I've watched a video online, they go, guys love. Why is it sundresses that guys love?
Oh, God. Yeah. You're going to put this on me.
Yep.
They're form fitting but loose. Let's put it that way.
They're like, they're classy but sexy.
It teases the mind.
It's like enough to show, but it's also, they're not showing off.
Because it gives you some cleavage.
Yeah.
But then the bottom half, you just see it like vaguely flowing in the
wind. But it also contours your waist a little bit.
And you look innocent.
I will say I am the queen of sundresses.
You are.
I love them. I will actually buy.
Well, they look really good on your body.
Yeah, they do. They're my sick. Yeah, they do. No. There's not a lot. You'd look good in a lot of really cool chic. Like you can wear like a minimalistic top with like sick pants and I would look like a clown.
Well, can we talk about what are you doing for your outfits?
Oh,
the Stagecoach, because I want to see if we're on different pages.
This is the three. I've done Pinterest pages. My main objective is to make sure I have a lot of accessories, like a lot of belts, a lot of bracelets, a lot of necklaces. But my first day, I'm thinking, is my, I have this cute nude long skirt, like kind of loose, flowy top set.
So you have a long skirt one day.
I have actually a long skirt, I think 2 days.
Maybe. That's fine.
Maybe.
Speak your truth.
So it's like a nude set and I'm wearing a lot of like brown gold jewelry. Mm. And I'm probably going to wear like something in my hair. I don't know.
Cute.
And the second day, it's going to be all black. So it's going to be like black boots, black mini skirt. Like
sexy cowgirl.
Yeah. And like that type of.
Siren cowgirl.
And the third day is a mixture between either a sundress with boots or I have a jean jumpsuit.
Is it a one piece?
Yeah.
That's going to be trouble when you go peeing in a porta potty. You got to take the whole thing off.
I didn't even think about that.
You have to take the whole thing off.
One piece.
There's nothing more humbling when a girl is wearing a one piece.
When you're naked on the
And you
toilet.
Literally have to. You know what's something crazy?
Oh, that's so true.
I always thought until I was 25 years old, when you're wearing a bodysuit out to dinner at a club, that you have to take off the whole bodysuit to go pee.
No, I just moved it to the side.
I didn't know you could do that. Just move it to the side.
How would you not? That's like the simplest.
Because I'm a dumbass.
Yeah, you were.
I don't know.
Just like naked in a stall.
I was naked in so many clubs.
That's so many clubs.
No one asked me to. Like, I just did it. Like on a date with someone, I'm like, how am I naked already? Appetizers
are here.
Pay
for anything.
No,
what are you doing?
Okay, my outfits. Okay, so where are you sourcing your looks from? Like
my
what
closet.
Brands? Oh, just your closet.
I haven't bought anything. You bought stuff for it, which is very different because I'm usually the one that buys stuff.
I only bought... So I've been going to a lot of vintage stores because I feel like thrifting is cool to find something different.
Totally.
So I found like a one outfit, I hope it works, is like a cool like crochet tight dress with like 17 belts on. I want to look ridiculous.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be like more... Not what everyone else would wear there.
You're trying to be urban cowgirl.
Well, I don't know. I feel like when we went to Stagecoach, everyone sort of looks the same.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad. It's a very cute look. But I tried that 1 year and I just didn't feel like me.
No, I guess.
So I'm like, how can I put a little Sistine spice to the mix?
Totally.
So I don't have ideas. But this is one idea I had. I was going to actually wear these jeans because there's like a butt flap missing in the back,
which
looks very like...
Western? Yes.
Well, that sounds bad. I meant
See,
just
what are
my
you
pocket
wearing? You literally have gone into like four different outfits in the span
of
5 minutes.
So I was thinking of, is this crazy if I rolled these over like 3 times so they're super low waisted and then I had a bathing suit on so that the strings were out and I had a bikini top on with like a semi, no, you're shaking your head
now. A bikini top at a Western festival? I don't understand.
Let it roll.
Right? I feel like I've seen a lot of girls in like bathing suits at the festival.
Okay. I like it.
Well, freaking guys walk around with their gut out, American flag shorts and no shirt. I'm like, okay.
America, baby.
America,
go USA.
No, but that's why we love Stagecoach because Coachella, it's like you got to push your way to get to the crowd. Everyone's on drugs. It's a little bit scary. Stagecoach, if you wanted to walk to the front, you could. Everyone is there with their lounge chairs. No one's pushing, drinking beer.
I'm so excited.
It's amazing.
What if we find our country husband?
We're going to see the Montana boys, I'm sure.
They're not my vibe. But I will say this, I think it's really important that I try on my outfits this weekend before we go, because I might need to go get some other stuff. But speaking of next week also, I have two dates.
You do?
Yeah, which is very...
Back to back, not a good idea.
Both on Monday and Tuesday.
You should never double book, because you always end up canceling the second one.
I didn't intentionally, because we're leaving Wednesday. So I was like, okay, like this guy's one of them's out of town. So I figured, okay, that... I have to. He's only in town for 3 days. And the other one, I was like, I'm delayed in it. So back-to-back dates are tough. What if I can I say tea again? Is that bad to suggest, like, no drinking?
I think the second guy, for sure.
I can say no drinking.
Yeah. Tuesday guy.
You don't think Monday guy would approve either?
Sophia, if you start having tea with all of these men that you go on dates with, like,
well,
come on.
This is something I have a question about. Because probably people deal with long distance guys, whatever. This guy is across the country. And so for me, it's like, it's going to be worth it to know who he is. But wouldn't I just want to know right off the bat, like if we have a vibe, so I'm not wasting my time. Just
soberly.
Are you
saying you aren't able to find out his vibe from one glass of wine?
Forget it.
You're being so heady.
Yeah.
Stop planning. I can see your brain right now. You're trying to like plan exactly how much you're gonna drink.
I've been planning every single day next week, so I'm planning on like having one drink. Being, oh, I have berries in the morning.
You don't even go to berries.
I don't. I can barely work out at the gym.
Don't lie to yourself. Should we do unsolicited advice?
Yeah. So as usual, you know, we go through our DMs and we want to answer some of your advice questions.
Before we do,
yeah,
I met two more unwaxed girlies on the street. She's both hot. I'm not saying that again. I got to show you, Chris. These girls are gorgeous.
Let's see.
Gorgeous.
They all want you.
They are insane. One of them was so cool.
Yeah.
And we talked for like 10 minutes. And then she said that our unwaxed poster with the photo of us and the glasses inspired her to start her own sunglass line. And she's like, I want to send you the glasses. I'm like, what the heck?
Boy, that's actually
that's
really
so dope.
That's so nice.
It's so cool.
Thanks.
We love you guys.
I love all of you guys.
You know what's crazy? Like, I got emotional talking about this with Sophia the other day.
Yeah.
Just because I know I always say this, but we didn't start this podcast for any other reason, just to connect with people. And if some women or men out there resonated, they messaged us. That's literally the only reason we did it. And I feel like
It's finally
getting that traction, but also we're almost 200 episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
And it genuinely just feels like I'm talking to friends. Like, I feel like I know everyone that I'm talking to.
The girls come up to us and they talk to us like we're
because we are.
We are. And that's so nice. I'm like, this is what we've been trying to do this whole time. And
I'm
now
just happy. I'm grateful.
I know. I'm really grateful.
Okay, let's do a question. So
I need some advice. Going to a surprise engagement for my bestie in Palm Beach. So while I'm there, I set up a date with someone who lives in Miami. So if you guys don't know, Palm Beach is a bit more north and Miami's south. Mm. So it takes like a couple hours to get there. He wants to take me to dinner, but that means I have to go all the way to him, then meeting him halfway. I asked if we can meet in the middle, but he insists on me going to Miami. Oh. The guy seems really cool, but I'm not super comfortable with going that far to see him, especially since I already flew all the way down there. What do I say? Do I pull the trigger and go to Miami or stay halfway? So I chose this question because I think this is one of those questions that that she's more asking comfortability, because I feel like a lot of girls have, you know, they have a tough time saying what they actually want to do. So clearly this girl doesn't want to go all the way to Miami. And it's one of those things like, should I just say screw it and go? I think you do what you feel comfortable doing. If you don't feel comfortable going all the way down to Miami to see this guy, then don't. But if you feel like you're anxious because you're nervous to see him and that's kind of making you hesitate a little bit, then
I'm not really loving his lack of compromise in this situation.
Exactly.
Like, he's not even trying to figure out a solution that works for you. Mm-hmm. He's just saying, you come to me, which is somewhat of a red flag. And possibly you just saw a little bit of his character early on, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that especially if it's a first date and you guys have been talking, and if he was as excited as you were, he would figure out, okay, let's meet in Fort Lauderdale or somewhere in the middle where you don't have to go all the way out of your way. Because let's say hypothetically, it's a bad date, you want to leave, or if it's just a great date and it's late night, then you have to be stuck on a two-hour train ride all the way home and he just gets to go to bed? No. That's not a man.
No, and I will say, remember, I went on a date with someone in Palm Beach. We both know him, and he drove from all the way from Miami to Palm Beach to take me on a date.
If he wanted to, he would.
And so, yes, exactly. If you don't feel like going and you feel like he's cool, but it's a bit out of your way, be confident, ladies. Don't hold back. If you're really not feeling something, say what you mean, mean what you say.
You know what I would do? I would just put the ball in his court and say, I'm here for my friend's engagement. Take the train to Miami. We can spend the day together. And if he says no, then he's not it.
Yeah.
But like, put it on him. You're there for your friend's engagement.
Yeah.
So you seeing him is like you're cutting into that time to see this guy. He needs to compromise with your schedule and why you're in Florida in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Period.
Slay. Have a great engagement party. This person said, hi, girls. I've been wanting to start a podcast. Any advice or tips on how to? Practice, 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 practice. Sophia and I practiced so much in the beginning. Yeah. We probably did 20 episodes that we just scrapped because we realized how foreign and difficult it was to not only do a podcast and putting yourself on voice record, but also doing it with someone else. So that would be my advice. Like really see, also try to figure out your niche, right? Like what is something that you could give to the podcast world that you find is niche, it's your own, it's different, because there's already so many out there.
Yeah. And I would say for me, it's practice, prep, and consistency. I'm telling you, I have had so many friends that started a podcast and they quit after 3 months because they didn't realize how hard it is. Just a warning, podcasting is a lot. It's it's not cheap. It's not easy. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of planning and it takes a lot of editing if you're running it on your own. Clearly,
and
if you have a studio.
And a lot of time until you see payout.
It takes a long time. Yeah. Joe Rogan has a great podcast, but he started it years ago and accumulated such a giant following from that. And so because he was one of the first, he has this built set in. But now, today, if you're starting it, you have to have your little group. Like, honestly, find your group, what Sistine said, like have your niche, but really accumulate a very targeted audience that knows exactly what you're going into. And you have to just prep. Like, you have to set it up. You have to be consistent. Like, people are listening to your show because they're expecting it to happen every single week.
Yeah.
And, guys, it took Sistine and I 4 years to get to this point. And now we're telling you 2 seconds ago that we're seeing girls finally coming up to us and relating to us, and we're seeing traction. 4 years. Like, it does not take overnight, so be patient.
And have fun.
Yeah.
Just do the last one. I like the last one.
Okay. Hi, Sophia and Sistine. So there's this guy that I've been on and off with for 5 years, and I'm not sure why it's not going anywhere. So we went to high school together, and now in our third year of college, he always makes it clear that he sees me as a potential girlfriend, but it stays that way, like friends. We don't have a lot of free time, both being science majors, flex, but I expect him to make a move. I don't know if he's stringing me along and not sure what to do. Any advice is appreciated.
I have so many thoughts.
Tale as old as time.
I have so many thoughts, so many questions. Is it an open relationship? Is he also going out with other girls and you're going out with other
guys? There's no relationship. They've been on and off for a long time, and they're clearly in the same friend group. They are. So actually, I can add on a little bit because she wrote a really long when I condensed it. They're really good friends. They all hang out with the same people. They're both in the same major. They went from high school to college together, not intentionally following each other, but they just ended up in the same route. And he always is saying to her, it's like having a best friend says, like, I see you as my wife and I see you as my girlfriend, but then just never puts the step forward.
I hate that. I was told that not that long ago. I hate it's such empty words. It's such empty words because you're saying that knowing that it's going to give us women in that moment a little hit of endorphin, a little hope, a little, oh my God, I see the future because he sees it too.
Yeah.
Okay. And?
Right.
How are you following that sentence, dude?
And the girl, the fact that you're asking, is he stringing me along? Part of you knows. He's stringing you along, and you don't deserve that at all. And I think it's time for you.
I think it might be a little... Go on, sorry.
What?
No, finish your statement.
I'm curious what you're going to say. This might be a little toxic.
Oh, no. We can't give toxic advice.
Toxic.
I mean, Jesus. Just an option. You don't have to use it. But since it's been so on again, off again, it sounds to me like he's keeping you out of convenience. Okay? Which sucks to hear. Now, men, we love them. Yeah. They're a little bit simple when it comes to relationships. They know what they want. And they know when a girl's being too much. They know, like we said in the last episode, what category of woman are you? Like, that's what they're thinking. I would start pursuing someone else. Well, see how he responds.
I'll tell you this. I have a girlfriend that had a really, really close guy friend for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they started to explore that side. Mm. And he'd always tell her during that time, you're basically the girl of my dreams. I would love to date you. You'd be a great girlfriend. We would have a great time because they get along, like, as friends, naturally into a relationship. It works because that's mm-hmm. it. But he never committed for a
Wonder
long time
why.
And would keep kind of delaying it, not putting in effort. So she goes, peace out. I'm out. I'm good. I have my friends. It's all good. But no animosity. She's just like, we'll just stay as is and keep it that way.
Yeah.
He is pining for her months later. When I say he is heartbroken, it's almost like these last few months he's been brewing about the fact that she's not, and she's found someone else. She's totally in love. She doesn't want him, but he is dying for it. And she said, and she's still saying no,
because men want what they can't have.
And by the way, she's with a better guy, anyways.
Here's the thing: if you are so set on this person, like your heart is in it, and you don't want anyone else but him, then you're going to have to swallow your pride, confront him, have that conversation. But that could result in him saying, I'm not looking for that, and completely ruin the whole friendship dynamic. But if you haven't already gotten that from him after 5 years, then I don't think one conversation he's just going to snap out of it and be like, yep, you're right, I want you. I would start to explore other options as much as it sucks to hear. But you deserve to be with someone that is excited and wants to commit to you.
You're not a puppet. Cut those strings.
Bars? Whoa! Say it again.
You're not a puppet. Cut those strings.
Period.
We don't like to be played with. Period.
I thought you were going to say something else.
I had something else, but I forgot it. But yeah, no, that's 2024. We ain't no puppets.
Tattooed on her face.
That's going to be the quote. I feel like we have to have it in the middle.
Literally. No, okay. Okay. So we're going to wrap up this episode.
Yeah.
Sophie and I are going to Stagecoach next weekend, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to get the Stagecoach episode recap for a while. What we're going to do is we're going to do two mini Q&A episodes. Sophie and I really understood where you guys were coming from. We heard you loud and clear. Mm-hmm. You want Chris. You want Chris. We're giving you Chris, not his face. Sorry. He's got to save the moneymaker for us.
Gatekeeping
hard. So what we're going to do is we're going to do two episodes, 30 minutes, asking girls the questions, asking guys the questions. We're going to have Chris, his point of view on certain matters, the female point of view. So I'll put up a poll. Make sure you look out for that. Anyway, we love you guys.
And we'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.